Welcome to the deep dive. You know, we've all spent years juggling media queries, right? Trying to pin down breakpoints for every possible device. But web design is, well, it's really moving faster than ever, it feels like, pushing towards layouts that are much more flexible, truly dynamic.
That's exactly right. And our mission today really is to dig into how some newer things, specifically container queries with Fluid Containers and CSS Subgrid, are changing responsive design, especially now looking towards 2025.
So these aren't just minor tweaks then?
No, not at all. They're pretty fundamental for getting those, you know, pixel-perfect designs. They boost the user experience, help mobile performance, and crucially, let us rely a lot less on traditional media queries.
Okay.
And this deep dive, just so you know, it's really aimed at web developers, designers, folks who know their CSS, but maybe haven't dived deep into these specific tools yet.
Perfect. Okay, let's unpack this then, starting with Fluid Containers. What exactly are we talking about here? Why is this such a big deal?
Well, the key idea is a shift. Instead of designing just for the viewport, the whole browser window, you're designing for the component itself.
Okay.
So think about a component like a product card or maybe a user profile block.
Hmm.
With Fluid Containers, you don't need separate rules for if it's in a sidebar versus if it's in the main content. The container knows its own space.
It adapts automatically.
Pretty much. It adapts based on the space it has. It's like giving your little UI pieces spatial awareness. No need for a unique media query for every single placement scenario. It's a game changer for modularity.
Huh. So if components can adapt on their own, does this mean we can, like, finally ditch most of those global breakpoints? Or are there still times we need them?
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of cases, it drastically cuts down on needing global breakpoints. You're empowering the components. The main time you might still need a broader approach is if the entire page structure needs a fundamental shift based on window size, like totally reordering big sections. But even then, handling the smaller bits within those sections becomes so much simpler with container queries.
Right, that makes sense. So the Fluid Container sets the stage, gives the component its adaptable space. How do we then get things inside it lined up perfectly? Is that where CSS Subgrid steps in?
Exactly. That's where the real power comes in, especially for complex layouts. Before Subgrid, you know, nesting grids. Trying to get items in an inner grid to align with the outer grid's lines.
Oh, yeah. Nightmare. Often led to weird hacks.
Total nightmare. You'd fight with it. Subgrid basically lets that inner grid borrow the track lines from its parent grid. So if your main page has a specific column setup, components inside can snap directly to those same columns.
Ah, so they align properly without needing a whole new independent grid definition inside.
Precisely. You're not recreating the wheel each time. It makes those intricate pixel-perfect alignments feel much more natural, less forced.
Wow. No more important flags just to nudge something into place. That sounds amazing. Does it really make complex layouts feel, well, less complex to build?
It really does. It encourages a single source of truth for your layout structure. You maintain one consistent blueprint, which is just critical for consistent modular design. Alignment, spacing, it all becomes much more predictable, even in nested situations.
Okay, so putting these two together, Fluid Containers, making components aware of their space, and Subgrid letting them align precisely within grids. What's the biggest overall benefit? What's the main takeaway for developers wanting to build better sites?
The biggest payoff. Definitely achieving truly superior modular layouts and doing it with way less code, especially fewer media queries. Think of all those lines we can just delete.
We've all seen those massive media query files.
Haven't we, Jess? So you get much finer control at the component level. As for getting started, a really practical tip is keep an eye on browser support. Tools like Can I Use are your friend here. Support is getting really good really fast, but it's always smart to check for the specific features you need.
Good tip. Okay, zooming out a bit then. What does really embracing these tools mean for responsive design going forward, like into 2025 and beyond?
I think it signals a pretty major evolution, especially for mobile, but really everywhere. We're building designs that are inherently more robust, more adaptable. They just respond better.
So less about fixed breakpoints, more about true fluidity.
Exactly. Moving away from rigid breakpoints towards genuinely fluid, almost content-aware layouts. That's where the best user experience is going to come from on any device, any screen size.
So wrapping up, what does this all mean for you, our listener? I think the message is pretty clear. Getting comfortable with Fluid Containers and CSS Subgrid isn't just nice to have anymore. It's becoming essential.
Yeah, and it prompts a question, really. How can you use these tools to push beyond the old limits? Think about creating experiences that aren't just responsive in the old sense, but truly dynamic, truly future-proof. The web isn't getting any simpler. Viewports are getting more varied, and these are the tools that will help you master that complexity.
Yeah.
It's about building a more resilient web.